Let's read together Luke chapter 12, verses 1 through 12. In this first portion of Luke chapter 12, we have our Lord's instruction to his disciples concerning hypocrisy on the one hand and courage to testify on the other. Luke chapter 12, beginning at verse 1. In the meantime, when an innumerable multitude of people had gathered together so that they trampled one another, he began to say to his disciples, first of all, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, nor hidden that will not be known. Therefore, whatever you have spoken in the dark will be heard in the light, and what you have spoken in the ear in inner rooms will be proclaimed on the housetops. And I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after he is killed, has power to cast into hell. Yes, I say to you, fear him. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 copper coins? And not one of them is forgotten before God. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. Also I say to you, whoever confesses me before men, him the Son of Man also will confess before the angels of God. But he who denies me before men will be denied before the angels of God. And anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him. But to him who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven. And when they bring you to the synagogues and magistrates and authorities, do not worry about how or what you should answer or what you should say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say." Let's begin our study of this first section of Luke chapter 12 with some background notes. We read in verse 1 that the multitude was growing in size. Most likely, the word had spread that the Lord had denounced the self-righteous scribes and Pharisees in no uncertain terms with scathing rebukes. The common people would have loved it, just as we do today, when self-righteous hypocrites are publicly denounced. So the crowd was growing to the point where they were literally stepping on one another. The Lord now used this opportunity to teach his disciples, and thus his remarks here at the beginning of chapter 12 were specifically addressed to his disciples. But notice that by the time we get to the end of the chapter, the Lord is speaking to the whole multitude. Verse 54. So here in the first part of the chapter, although the Lord was specifically addressing his remarks to his inner circle of disciples, many in the crowd would have heard him speaking. And remember, many in this mixed crowd were followers of the Lord to one degree or another. Well, so much for our background notes. Let's consider now what the Lord was teaching his disciples here under our 3 doctrinal points. The doctrinal point number 1, don't be a hypocrite because everything will be revealed. Don't be a hypocrite because everything will be revealed. In verse 1, the Lord warned his disciples to be aware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. As leaven or yeast expands and affects the whole batch, so does hypocrisy expand and affect everyone it touches. So the Lord is telling his disciples to watch out and not to be taken in by the hypocrisy of the Pharisees, which he strongly denounced in chapter 11, as we've seen. Watch out that they don't become hypocrites themselves, because everything will be revealed. All the masks will come off. All hidden motives and agendas will be exposed. Verse 2, once again, "For there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, nor hidden that will not be known." This exhortation is just as true today as when the Lord gave it to his disciples. Don't be a hypocrite because everything will be revealed. Doctrinal point number 2. Don't be afraid because everything will be provided. Don't be afraid because everything will be provided. Let's read verse 3 again. "Therefore, whatever you have spoken in the dark will be heard in the light, and what you have spoken in the ear in the inner rooms will be proclaimed on the housetops. Question. Does verse 3 go with verse 2 in reference to the bad hidden things of the hypocrites, or does verse 3 go more with the good things of the gospel that would be courageously proclaimed by the persecuted believers of verse 4 and following? Answer. In view of the parallel passage in Matthew chapter 10, it seems that in verse 3 here, the Lord has transitioned from his remarks about hypocrisy to his encouragement for the disciples to be courageous in their future proclamation of the gospel. I'm reading Matthew chapter 10, verses 27 through 31. Whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light, and what you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin? And not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. Matthew chapter 10, verses 27 through 31. Sparrows were so inexpensive that if you bought four for 2 cents, a fifth one was thrown in for nothing. And yet God knew about every one of these little sparrows. How much more did God know and care about his followers then and today? And if the very hairs of our head are numbered, how much more does the Lord know and care about us? So don't be afraid. Everything will be provided. Not only will the Lord meet our basic physical needs, but these verses strongly indicate that the Lord will supply the moral strength and courage that we need in times of crisis, including the possibility of martyrdom and the threat of death. Verse 4, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. Death is as far as the opposition can chase you. After that, you are home free. And the implication of verse 5 is that the opposition will be cast into hell. Verses 11 and 12 teach us that even what we should speak in times of crisis will be provided if we look to the Lord. Let's read those verses again. Now, when they bring you to the synagogues and magistrates and authorities, do not worry about how or what you should answer or what you should say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. Don't be afraid, because everything will be provided. Doctrinal point number 3. Don't be a coward because everything will be reviewed. Don't be a coward because everything will be reviewed. Verses 8 and 9 certainly have an application for both salvation and discipleship. Verses 8 and 9, once again. Also I say to you, whoever confesses me before men, him the Son of Man also will confess before the angels of God. And he who denies me before men will be denied before the angels of God. To confess Christ as Lord is to be saved and become a Christian. Romans chapter 10 and verses 9 and 10. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Romans 10, 9 and 10. And that confession of faith will be honored in eternity. But to deny Christ, as the Pharisees were doing, meant to be denied by God in the day of judgment. These Pharisees who committed the unpardonable sin of attributing the Lord's miracles to Satan will be in hell forever. Now, in the matter of discipleship, these verses certainly can be applied. Because in our lives as disciples, we can boldly confess the Lord with our testimony, or we can deny the Lord in our words and deeds. And our lives as disciples will be reviewed before the judgment seat of Christ. Read Romans 14, verse 10, and 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10 in this connection. In fact, let's read those verses. Romans 14 and verse 10. Why do you judge your brother? Or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. This is written to believers. For we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. Again, written to believers. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. So in reference to this application of these verses here in Luke 12 to discipleship, I'm reading an excellent note from the Living Application Bible. Quote, we disown Jesus when we, one, hope no one will think we are Christians, two, decide not to speak up for what is right, three, are silent about our relationship with God, four, blend into society, five, accept our culture's non-Christian values. By contrast, we acknowledge him when we, one, live moral, upright, Christ-honoring lives, two, look for opportunities to share our faith with others, three, help others in need, four, take a stand for justice, five, love others, six, acknowledge our loyalty to Christ, seven, use our lives and resources to carry out his desires rather than our own. End of quote. Don't be a coward, because everything will be reviewed. Now, what about practical application from this first section of Luke chapter 12? Don't use Luke chapter 12, verses 11 and 12, as your excuse for not being prepared. Don't use Luke chapter 12, verses 11 and 12, as your excuse for not being prepared. Let's read those verses again. Now when they bring you to the synagogues and magistrates and authorities, do not worry about how or what you should answer or what you should say. For the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. Some Christians have wrongly used these verses as an excuse, or worse yet, as a command, not to prepare for Bible studies or sermons or ministry opportunities. That is bad hermeneutics. The context here shows that this is an encouragement to the disciples who will face persecutions for their Christian faith. They are promised that the Holy Spirit will give them the words to say in these crisis situations. In application for today, we can claim this promise that the Lord will give us the words to say in times of crisis. But when it is not a crisis time, and we do have time for study and preparation, let's not be lazy and try to use this scripture as a justification for our laziness and negligence. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 says, study or be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. 2 Timothy 2:15. Don't use Luke chapter 12, verses 11 and 12, as your excuse for not being prepared.